moms, if you're here and you want to go to Jolly Cow, you can bring anybody you want to bring with you, and that tab will be covered by the church. We've worked out something with Jolly Cow. Those are great folks over there. Just so you know, John's an amazing guy. They run an incredible institution, I would almost call it. Because ice cream's more than just a snack. It's an institution. It's serious stuff when you make it right. It's like, I just need a milkshake right now from Jolly Cow or an ice cream sandwich. But they're great folks, and they just will keep a running tab for us. And just so you know, there have been times where he's said, not too worried about it. And that's an incredible thing for a local business, to just treat us that way as a church. They give us all their extra ice cream when they shut down shop in the end of the summer, and we get to distribute it through the food pantry. And yes, some does end in my freezer as well. And some of you here as well, especially if you work in the food pantry, you know what I'm talking about. But they're great. And just so if you do end up going out there, anyone that's with you, just say, hey, I'm from Kingsfire Church. I'm a mom, and these folks are with me, and they'll keep that separate. But also be very generous in the tip jar. There's usually got some young gals that work there, and they're working hard, keeping track. I don't know how they keep track of all that stuff. A family of six shows up, and they just, like, jot it on a piece of pencil with paper, and it's like all of a sudden everything comes out right. So just be generous. Maybe the money you're not spending on the ice cream, put some of that in that tip jar. And just let's really be an example of a generous spirit to the folks at Jolly Cow this afternoon, hoping that it doesn't rain. They did talk about that, but what do they know? You can have ice cream. Yeah, that's what the big overhang out front is for. You can have ice cream in there. I'm just kind of lost. I'm not usually at a loss for words, but I'm feeling that sensation, and not in a bad way, but it always touches my heart when I'm away for a couple Sundays, and you can watch online, and I so appreciate the folks that make online viewership happen. There's plenty of folks that are home now watching online, folks from all around the country, and even some internationally do tune into our stream when we stream our messages, and that's a beautiful thing, and so blessed by you guys and appreciate you guys, and I just know that I've done that, and there's something also very special about being here with you guys and hearing those children's voices just belt out the praises and the songs that we sang this morning, and it just always, it's almost like going on a fast. You know, you take that first bite of real food after you've been fasting for a while, and it's like, I never knew a burger tasted like this until you didn't taste one for a couple weeks. You know, that's sort of how it felt to me spiritually, to be in this amazing presence that I don't ever want to take for granted, and I don't ever want you guys. No believer should ever take the presence of God for granted. It cost Jesus Christ the brutalization of his body and his ultimate bleeding out on a criminal's cross, so that we could have the kind of access that we have to come boldly into his presence. May we never, ever forget. May we never, forget all his benefits. It's amazing, that has to be a scripture, right? And forget not all his benefits, because there's something in us as humans we could forget. And as we honor our mothers today, let's just not forget. Maybe they weren't the greatest, maybe they were amazing, but wherever they were, you're here because of them. That's why the Bible says, I'm convinced that's why the Bible says, honor your father and mother. Let's just read that. I actually wanted to read this exactly how it's written in the New King James. It says, honor your father and mother in Deuteronomy 5, that it may go well with you. Sorry, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving to you. He was about to bless their socks off with an amazing land. And he connects directly the honor that a child would give to his parents with how well it's going to go for them in the land of blessing. Did you know that? Of all the things he could have said, honor your father and mother so that you have children that honor you. Whatever. It could have been any other. No. Specifically so that you would have long life, that your days would be long. And I also believe that your day being long means you're going to get a lot done in your day. I don't know if you feel the compression of time, but it feels like there's not enough hours in the day. Do you say that? You heard that one, right? There's just not enough hours in the day. A part of the blessing of an honoring position before a father and a mother is that you're going to get a lot done in your days. Whether it's the days meaning your lifetime or the day of the week that you're working, if there's an honor in your heart towards your parents, God promises that you're going to have long days and it's going to be well with you. Do you know how many people are just in a state of misery right now because they don't honor their father and their mother? I can't think of anyone that I know that's really just dishonors their parents, just has no good things to say about them, whether they were great parents or not. There's no exemption clause here. It doesn't say as long as they were. No, you're here because of them. And you humble yourself to that position, at least you can recognize this is a command. It says, I've commanded you to do this. God wants us to have a long, blessed life. He wants us to have a position where it's well with our soul. But sometimes there's practical reasons why it's not so. And I felt just to encourage you and maybe challenge some of you that this might be a day where you need to reconsider your position at a heart level before your mother and your father. I know it's not Father's Day yet, but it's Mother's Day. And it's worth considering both. You know, you couldn't be here without a dad either. So it's, I don't know, they don't teach biology the way they used to in school these days. So it's all so confused. I wonder if they even bother going back to like where we all came from, you know, a man and a woman, you know. It's kind of bizarre, but we live in crazy times. But I just love how specific these implications are. And I want us to be people that honor not just with word, as Jesus said, but indeed that we honestly spend some time with parents, that we're making sure that we're in conversation with them and that we're honoring and respectful to them. You know that one of the most incredible things that's always jumped out at me, I don't, because of what I need to say about the song, we're going to jump around a little bit, which I know you're used to that. I don't know why I still say that, because it's just another Sunday in Kingsfire Church with Pastor Josh talking. But in 2 Timothy 3, Paul says a couple of things. And this has been one of the theme scriptures for the class, that the Last Day Citizens class that Pastor Rich and Dan and Caliendo have been doing. It says, for men in the last days, they'll be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Anybody know what comes next? I mean, these are bad things. Blasphemers. Jesus was crucified before the crime of blasphemy, right? That's what they accused him of. These were all things that people would be executed over. Maybe not love of money, but lovers of themselves, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. I'm intentionally trying to keep my voice soft right now because I want to say a few things that you can just hear and file away, and I don't want to say them emphatically because they're kind of strong. Blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy. In case you thought maybe that's just a weird disobedience to parents, is just something strange to kind of put into a list of such crazy things. Why don't we check Romans chapter 1 quick? This is something that just settled in my heart last night. I actually woke up this morning and put this here, and so we're getting a very different message this morning. But I feel it's the leading of the Spirit, and I think it's important we recognize this because, as I said, we had half the church go downstairs after worship. These things are important to the heart of God. Why would it be recorded so clearly? In Romans chapter 1, 28 through 31, again, it's talking about how depraved societies that disintegrate, like Sodom and Gomorrah, like the day that we live in now, it explains some of the behaviors that we can expect and that we can see as markers for knowing that the deterioration is probably past the point of no return. And it says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. What does that mean? They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. We stopped talking about God in school. It's actually illegal. You can't preach the Bible and teach the Ten Commandments in most American schools. Did you know that? Especially if you're in one of these very liberal states. It's actually one of the first things they took away is the ability to teach right and wrong. Right and wrong is determined by the individual. They decide what's right and wrong for them. And if it feels good to them, they're supposed to do it. That's their inner moral compass, and that's what they're supposed to do, regardless if it hurts people, hurts themselves, destroys others' lives. It doesn't matter. You do what feels good to you. It's a hedonism. It's just the basic lovers of self. It's the expression of this idea of being a lover of self. You just do what pleases you. And so we didn't want to retain God in our knowledge. We don't teach, not in the church, but in schools. It's important sometimes to highlight the difference between the church and believers and the world, because there's this crazy blend that's happening where the world is just creeping into what people still call churches, and their philosophies and their doctrines and their belief systems are getting so screwed up and so polluted that it's almost unable to be deciphered what's really going on, what's true. Good is evil and evil is good. These things are happening in our lifetime. Here in America, there was a certain inner sense of goodness that people knew about Americans that's been dissolved. I would like to say it's dissolving, but in the state we live in, it's been dissolved. There's no sanctity of human life. There's no sanctity of marriage. There's no belief that God is still someone who's to be known about and taught to our children. But listen to the way this passage goes. It just gets worse and worse. It says, because they didn't want to retain God in their knowledge, God said, okay, he gave them over to a debased mind. You know, and you get frustrated with some of the decisions being made in government and different places. It's because people are trying to use a debased mind that God has turned them over to solve spiritual problems, moral problems, good versus evil problems that face every civilization. We're trying to solve them without the knowledge of God, because he's just a myth. He's just for people that have simple minds that don't know how to dig deep and get the facts and discover that really this just came from, you know, some big whoops in the cosmos, and here we happen to be. You know, chaos went to order all by itself, even though that defies the laws of thermodynamics. We're willing to teach it to children. We've been doing it for decades now. And parents just sat back and thought, oh, okay, they're the experts. They're the scientists. They know what they're doing. Well, we're living in the fruit of that reality, even here in America. And so it says he gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness. I could just see Paul, he's in prison. I'm not sure if he's in prison when he wrote Romans. I shouldn't say that. He always kind of assumed when he has time to use this many synonyms, he's probably sitting there with a lot of spare time, and he's like, yeah, and maliciousness, and what else rhymes with maliciousness? You know, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. This is the outworking of a debased mind. Haters of God. Haters of God. It's fine to use Jesus' name as a curse word. You can say GD, and that's fine. You can even put that on TV. Now, you can curse God to hell, and it's an acceptable TV phrase. You can hate God, and it's okay. You just can't mention Jesus in a favorable way, or it'll just cut that out of your interview if you're a sports person or someone who's an athlete that wants to testify of God and you won the game because God helped us. And all of a sudden, they just that doesn't make it onto the camera. You understand, this is real. It's not hypothetical. It's not conspiracy. This is the real reality of a good versus evil battle that's been going on since Lucifer got kicked out of heaven. We just happen to be the people alive on earth right now watching it play out. But it's this going through this incredible list of haters of God. It's not just that God's not maybe necessary or essential. There's this shift that's coming to where we despise him and those who follow him. The devil's real popular right now. Pastor Rich has been showing some stuff to the class in the morning, showing the devil's just this big, fuzzy, kind of cool-looking guy who just has all these, you know, nuances, and he's just kind of quirky, and of course, that's probably, we end up feeling sorry for him in some of the way that modern philosophers are writing the things that they're writing about the evil side or the dark side, that really, who's to say that light is better than darkness, that good is better than evil? Aren't we all just really this blend of the same? There's just such depth of confusion in our generation. It blows my mind that many people, even in the church, just don't see it for what it is and don't realize we're all targeted for deception. Violent. If you watch the news, you know that's true. Proud. Boasters. Sounding a little bit similar to the Timothy scripture I read, isn't it? Inventors of evil things. I don't know if you watch some of the movies that have been out. You can just tell by looking at the titles that's not something you ever want to expose your eyes to. The eyes are the gateway to the soul. You watch some of this rubbish it's just a movie. It's in the theaters. How bad can it be? People in the day we live in, it's said of them prophetically over almost 2,000 years ago that they would be inventors of evil things. Most of the inventions we celebrated from the 1900s were good things, electricity, automobiles, these things that made our life, you know, the improvements in medicine and technology and things that have allowed us to see through the human body and diagnose things internally without even having to open up your skin. I mean, there's incredible developments that are all amazing, but in this generation we live in, there's also going to be a marked characteristic. There will be people who just invent evil things on purpose to scare people. Horror movies, just disgusting things that are put out there. And they're almost celebrated in a way, in a strange, sick, twisted way. It just disturbs me. And then guess what the next one is? I know many of you didn't turn there, so I'll tell you. Disobedient to parents. You know, I hear kids yell no to their parents. They're given an order or an instruction. No! I I'm not loud and upset. I'm just saying, I'm just reading the Bible this morning. But we're at the precipice of a shift in our culture that if the church doesn't have the correct response and following of Scripture, we're going to fall into the same tangle everybody else is in. I hope we can see it. Oh, they're just this, or they just need a nap, or whatever. It's like, thankfully, most of the kids are downstairs. There's probably some teenagers that are squirming in the room now, but I just want it to go well with you. I want you to live a long life. I want your days to be long. Is that something bad to wish for you? I didn't write it. I'm just reading what was written here. Disobedient to parents. It's not always as blunt as a 2 or 3 year old yelling no. But if you tolerate that, if you accept that as normal and you say, oh, they're just this, they'll grow out of it, you're actually allowing them to fall into a category that we just read. What loving parent, just pause for, what loving parent who's a believing parent would want that for your child? Just ask yourself that. When you feel like you're too busy to discipline or you're too busy to sit down with that child and require that that is not their response to you, you fill in the blanks of how you do it. I don't care how you do it, but you better make it happen. Or they become part of this debased culture, this mind that doesn't work. It's not cute. Disobedient to parents, and this is one of the things when we're talking about honoring a father and a mother, was I always obedient to my parents? Absolutely not. But there were consequences in my life that made me want to be obedient the next time. I don't know how else to say it. It should be pretty obvious if you've read Proverbs to know how to respond. I don't know about you, but my mother knew how to gain compliance from us. She accessed a part of our soul that was happy to comply once we experienced that part of her soul that was determined that we would not fit into this category of people who were going to run amok on the earth and make a mess. I think she stayed home today to watch online. It's a good thing, Rod. She's watching my grandma, who also watches from home. Another one who deserves a happy Mother's Day. She put up with my dad, right? Dad, he's here. We can all pick on you. Even my wife laughed at that one, huh? Pick on the in-laws. It's a sure way to get a good response from your better half, right? Let's read a scripture in Proverbs chapter 6. I'll finish that list. Disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving. Unforgiving. There's one we could spend some time on. Unforgiving. You realize that's listed in with a list of characteristics that define the depraved generation that will exist when Christ comes back to set things right? Unmerciful. People think, well, I have a right to forgive or not. No, you don't. You're just going to be disobedient to what Scripture says if you choose not to forgive. That's just basic. But in Proverbs chapter 6, in verse 20 through 23, this is the scripture that I thought I was going to emphasize primarily, but let's read it because there's a few things need mentioning. It says, my son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp and the law is a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. I'm alive and following the Lord because I had parents and a mother who spent the time to make sure I knew some of the most basic principles of life. This passage calls them the law of your mother. Not the mother-in-law, the law of your mother. Did your mother have any laws? We grew up on a farm. On a farm, there are things outside the house on the ground that ought not come in the house. We had a law called the no shoes in the house law. You didn't want to break that law. because you don't know what was on the bottom of your shoes. And it's a very sensible law to have when you've got little ones out running around in a barnyard and collecting eggs and doing all that stuff. And I, you know, but who wants to take the time to take off your shoe? And I remember, you know, come through the door, you kind of open it quiet. Is she in the kitchen? No, because you'd collected the eggs, you know, and you just tiptoe like as quiet as you could be, you know, trying to get the eggs to the sink, and you could just kind of tiptoe back out because it's work to, every kid knows it's work to put your shoes on and off. It's hard work, you know, it's miserable. Nobody wants to, that's why they run around with no shoes, because they don't want to take the time to put them back on again. It's easier to just run barefoot, you know? But she could be in the next room sewing or whatever she was doing, and you have your shoes on, and she could like, we thought we were in stealth mode, but there's just certain things where there were laws in place that I still remember. We still have that in our own home. It's just a courtesy, I guess, but, you know, no going outside until your chores are done. Anybody remember chores? I don't even know if we, Wendy remembers chores. Because you gave them or because you had them, Wendy? Gave them away, yeah, good. I was hoping. You know, don't go outside until your chores are done. I look at some of the things I've accomplished in my life, and not that I'm boasting, but I know it didn't come from me. There's always something internal in me when I'm doing something, when I'm thinking something, when I'm following a dream or a vision. There's things that I just absorb from that series, that season of being under mom's laws. That's a part of my life now. It's subconscious. If you're raised a certain way by a certain parent, you end up just having things, nuances about you, the way you do things that people say, why do you do it like that? Well, it's just instilled. It's part of being under and honoring the laws of a home, the laws of a house. Sadly, those many homes are broken, and I have sympathy for those who come from that experience. But, you know, no going outside until your chores are done. Just simple things that we try to instill with our children, not always as consistently as she did. But, I mean, unless your chores were outside. If your chores were outside, then you went outside. But you go ahead and jump on the bicycle and start riding around in the yard when you hadn't done your chores outside. That's trouble. That's not what you want to happen. Either got chores added or you didn't get to play with your friends that night, whatever. There was consequences to life. And I just hope that we're a group of people that are going to understand that the training of our children is essential. It's not going to be, if you're leaving it to be done by school teachers and schools and you live here in New York, you're in for a real problem. I love our teachers. I think we have some amazing teachers that teach in the schools. Some go to this church and they do the best that they can, but they'll tell you the system itself, it's not good. It's not godly, for sure. I mean, we had charts and graphs and stars that got put on them if you got a perfect week and all your chores were done. And I mean, she just had these laws that allowed us to have a life as kids that thankfully has conveyed into our lives now. And I know you can say the same view, but there was one that my mom taught us that I would say is the most primary thing that I can't ever get away from. And I try to encourage people to find this place in your heart, because if you can find it, you'll live your life completely different. But there's a scripture in Colossians, and this is one of her favorite. She lives by this, and anyone that knows my mother knows that she lives by this, and probably yours does as well. In chapter 3 of Colossians, verse 22, it says, "Bondservants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh." Face it, when you're a kid, your parents are the masters. If you're going to, you know, they're supposed to be that. They're there to protect you and steward you into adulthood. And so this clearly applies in this situation to the way that we look at our parents. It says, obey in all things, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. This principle is a principle that if you truly embrace this, if you're young in this room, meaning you're under 30, as you get older, it gets far. If you're under 30 and you're trying to figure life out, you need to learn how to live and do whatever it is you're going to do heartily. If you have to do it half-hearted, if you're in a job that you do half-heartedly, quit, stop. It's not worth a day of your life doing a job that you have only half a heart to give. What a waste of a life. What a waste of a day. What a waste of a moment of time in your life. Find something you can do heartily. Not that it's easy. I'm not talking about a job that makes you happy, or I'm not talking about following your dreams. And if it's to be on American Idol, then follow your... No, I'm talking about real gritty stuff. But if you can't find a way by faith to do it with a full heart as unto the Lord, You either need to stop what you're doing or trust God for the faith so that you can do it with a full heart as unto the Lord, not as unto men. When no one's looking, how is the job done? Is the stuff go under the carpet, under the bed? We were trained out of that very early on. That could cost you a Saturday with your friends, thinking you're going to pull one over on the inspector, the chief inspector, you know. I mean, my grandfather had over 100 antique clocks. And if you ever look at antique clocks, they're intricate. Some of them had carvings and stuff. And it was like, okay, dust to the back room, which is where all the clocks and the antiques were. And we didn't have Swiffer feather dusters then either. We had a cotton t-shirt with some lemon oil, and you used your pinky finger, whatever, to get in the stuff. But they needed to be, it was an hours long job. And I remember we'd go out there, and 5 minutes later, you come, all right, what else do I need to do before I can go outside? And she would just, all right, let's go check. And you go back, and she knew which ones to go to. Be like, you didn't move this, you didn't. Do you realize that how we do the things that we do in life, it exhibits something about our heart? If you can't do it heartily as unto the Lord, my question is, why are you doing it? My mother trained us to do things heartily as unto the Lord and not to men, knowing this is where the honor of your father and mother that it may go along with you ties in. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive. The long life, honoring your father and mother, they can't grant you long life. Every parent would grant their child a long life. They wish the best for us. They would wish our days to be full and for us to live long on the earth. They would want that. They would want us to be blessed. They don't want to see a child suffering. That's one of the hardest things for a parent, to see a child that's in pain. But there's an acknowledgement that the good promise that's fulfilled by honoring a father and a mother, honoring a leader, honoring a boss, honoring someone who's an authority in your life, when you honor and respect, the payment doesn't come from them. So don't look to them for it. Serve them heartily, but do it as unto the Lord, because he is the one that you can receive the reward of the inheritance, because we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Of everything my mom taught us, I would say that is the most important one. And I want to just honor that here on Mother's Day. And I want us to all ask that question. Is there something that we need to be considering about how we handle our own children, but also our parents, our moms? They're worthy of honor. I want it to go well with me. I don't want to suffer and have a confused soul. And when it says be well, that word well means like shalom. It's like we want to have peace, not just superficial, but inner deep peace. You know how many people struggle with anxiety and depression and their soul is just troubled? Many times it's because of wounds that have not been healed from things done to them. They haven't forgiven the things that happened to them from a parent. And many times it's the other way around as well. As we sang the song this morning, and I'll just close with this because I keep feeling the Holy Spirit wanting me to talk about it. It's the last song that we sang. It says, from my mother's womb, you have chosen me. And I don't know why that phrase always just gets me. When I realized that before I made a single bad decision, before I did something to someone else's property I shouldn't have done, or took something that didn't belong to me, or said something mean to somebody, or whatever the things we all do as human beings fallen by our sin nature, before any of that, he saw me in my mother's womb. And he called me. He had a purpose for my life. The Bible's full of the reality that he knit us together in our mother's womb, that he knew us even before time had begun. There was a call that went out. And in the mother's womb, when you think about that place, it's pure safety. It's pure everything that a baby needs, everything that developing person requires is all found from the mother. She literally shares the space of her body for a season. You want to talk about sharing? That's a pretty dramatic way of sharing your life. It's like, oh, I'd like to share some. No. She shared her space with us so that we could be here. It's a pretty important thing. And you think about the safety of that place, and you think about the development that happens there. You don't have to think about breathing. You don't have to think about, man, maybe we just had a discussion yesterday at our table. Someone said, you know, my kid just came out and they hate peanut butter because when she was expecting, she just devoured peanut butter by the canful. Well, she didn't say canful, but I think that's, she meant like by the gallon, I think. Canful, just eating peanut, just craved peanut butter. So the kid just can't even stand. So, I mean, there might be times when, you know, the baby's in there like, can we please get some like almond butter or something? Just peanuts killing me in here. I'm sure they experience the different things too. But the thing is, it's a safe place. It's the place of perfect incubation where all that's needed is fully supplied. There's no need for that developing person to do anything except just be there. And yet, as we sang the song this morning, and that phrase, "From my mother's womb, you've chosen me," it pricked my heart, because do you know that after 9 months, there's a little timer that starts to go the other way? After conception, when an embryo becomes a developing human and 9 months of gestation goes by, there's suddenly this, if you've ever had a pregnancy that went too long, maybe moms, you know, my wife's a doula, she helps with births, and so there's a lot of conversations you have with moms who are a week over or 2 weeks over, and there's this anxiety that starts to come in, like, oh my goodness, how big is this baby going to be, and is this going to happen, and do we have to induce, and all these questions, all this stress begins to come in, because in the same way we celebrate, we just need to get to 9 months. We're like, we can't have anything premature either, because that's dangerous. But there's this perfect point where, okay, baby's ready for atmosphere. After that, it goes the other way. And as we were singing that song, I just felt like today, just in the spirit of the atmosphere that was here, I didn't hear a voice. I didn't consult anyone prophetically to see if I was hearing correctly, but I just felt this so strong, and I can't get away from saying this. Today is a day spiritually for release. For release. Bible's very clear about maturity. There's a time for the bottle and the milk of the word, then there's a time for the meat. There's a time for people to step up and take what's theirs and begin to breathe on their own. And it was a challenge for me, but I'm sharing it with you because I get the privilege of doing that. There are seasons of life where it's wonderful to be in the safest envelope of safety and protection, and all the nourishment's just coming straight from mother. But there is a moment of release that if it doesn't happen spiritually, you become... eventually, you die. A baby that's not born dies. Can't live like that forever. Lungs develop, they need air. They don't need fluid. Back in the day before they could maneuver and, you know, surgeries and stuff to be able to develop birth a baby that was developing past the full term, I mean, women died from babies that they couldn't give birth to, because it had taken too long, and the baby obviously dies too, and often it cost the mother her life. Thankfully, we don't have too much of that now, because we have technology and we have the ability to solve that problem. But there's something in the spirit, and I was feeling it this morning so strong, that there are folks, myself included in this, that we have been so spoon-fed and so nourished and so protected, especially here in America. You can turn the dial and listen to any preacher, buy any book and read any book, read the scripture. We don't have to tear out pages and hide them in our pocket and go to prison and be executed because we're found with God's word on us in our possession, like it is in some of the Middle Eastern countries. We have such a freedom and this ability to just be nourished and to become fat and to become well-fed and to just have so much. And to get distracted with little tiny things that really don't mean anything. And I'm so guilty of this. And God is saying that today is spiritually a day of release, where it is time for us by faith to say, okay, I'm ready to breathe. I don't need a life support system. I don't need God to be my crutch. I'm ready to stand because I was called from my mother's womb to conquer fear, to know that the promise is for real, to know that he's not going to leave me or forsake me, to know that my days are going to be long and it's going to go well with me. Some people are still dealing with depression and unforgiveness and anxiety and stuff simply because you haven't just muscled up and said, okay, I have been born again. Not conceived again, but born again. A birth of spiritual strength and vitality that people think, oh, that's for someone else. That's for the pastor. No, it's for the body of Christ. It's for the children who were supposed to be born many a long time ago. But for some reason, it's just easier to stay in that warm environment where mama's just going to watch over us. And I feel like the Spirit is saying it's a day of release from the womb. It's a day for those, you know there's a call of God on your life. You know there's something you're supposed to be doing. You know there's a forgiveness that you have to knuckle down and commit to, regardless whether you feel it or not. And the longer you stay in that safe space thinking, oh, Holy Spirit, just comfort me one more time. Just give me that comfort because I'm hurting still and there's holes in my heart. The prophecy came to holes are being filled this morning. If you're a person of faith, you followed the instruction of the prophetess among us and you lifted your hands and you received a healing for the holes that were in your emotional heart. You were filled with a hunger that goes beyond just the natural hunger to wake up and think, oh, let me check my Bible app and see if there's any what the scripture of today is. There's a hunger and a desire that needs to be in us to be able to walk as mature sons and daughters. It says that creation itself is groaning for the revelation of the sons of God. Not the babies and the infants and the unborn, but the ones who have recognized, I'm called to more than just clinging on to somebody else, to be held in this place of embryonic safety. Because stuff's going to get real, and the sooner we start exercising our faith, and the sooner we start exercising our boldness and our courage and our confidence in who it is that we say we follow, who it is that we know gave his life for us, the sooner we're going to discover the world's been looking, the creation itself has been longing, yearning, it says, for the revelation of such people who know their God and whose God knows them. Let's stand together this morning. Father, we all desire safety. We all desire a place of knowing that we're protected. And yet I know, Lord, that there's a protection that you offer to the unborn, but there's also a protection that you offer to your soldiers and to your army and to your children that are going out into this world. Lord, this morning I just feel that there's a call for those who have ears to hear and eyes to see and a hunger in their heart to do more than what it is, or just to say yes to more than what they've said yes to before, that today would be a day of release for them. Today would be a day of new birth for them. Today would be a day of coming out of the place of hiding in a shadow in a corner and saying, okay, here I am. I don't know what I'm going to do, but God, you're going to show me what to do. Lord Jesus, we know that time is short. As I heard, you just feel, God, that people could feel with the spiritual feelers that you've given us, with the discernment. You said that in the last days, people would be undiscerning. But God, in this house, there will be discernment of knowing what is right and what is wrong. There will be spiritual discernment to know the season that we find ourselves in. God, I thank you. I pray right now that you would just pour out such a wave of refreshment on the eldership in this church, on Pastor Rich and Diane, on Pastor David and Nolia, that they've been pouring so much into the feeding of this flock here, spiritually speaking, Lord, that you would just refresh them, that you would pour through them a fresh revelation of everything you have for this house through their voices, Lord. To be at a distance and to watch how you're pouring out through your servants who are simply saying, yes, we'll be used. God, I pray that you would refresh them. I pray that you would stir them anew. I pray that you would continue to reveal what it is we need to have in our arsenal to know that we are capable, we are mature. We're not measure of Christ yet, but we're mature sons and daughters. We are those called by you from infancy, yes. But you're calling me, God. You're calling me to stand in a place that's different than what I've stood in before. And I pray for those in this room who know exactly what I'm talking about. Many have no idea. But for those who do, God, I pray that you would speak to them, that you would stir them, that they would feel an inner agitation of knowing now is the time to rise up into whatever it is they need to do. Whatever they need to say yes to, God, the time is ticking down. God, may we have an urgency that comes from you, not a fear that comes from the enemy, but an urgency that comes from the Holy Spirit, who knows that there is a work to be done. Knows there are hurting people who need to know of your saving power. Jesus, people who need to trust that if they would just forgive, you would wash over them and take the brokenness so far from them that they would walk in a freedom and a joy that they've only dreamed possible. God, I thank you for this release that can only come through the Spirit of the living God. That chains break. Darkness flees, and lives are birthed again. God, we thank you for the work that you're doing here in this church. We thank you that it is your hand at work. Your fingerprints are on our lives, and we give you praise for that. We couldn't have done this. Only you can do what you're doing. And we recognize that, and we praise you for it, and we thank you for it, and we pray that we would be in alignment so that it can continue to increase to the degree that people would just need to come into these doors just to find out what does it feel like to be in the presence of this God that you talk about, because I know they'll feel it. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Release, 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 release. be released in Jesus' name. Pass into the maturity of sonship, of being sons and daughters, so we can honor our Heavenly Father with a life that exhibits His love and His grace to this world. God, we thank You that only You can do what we're talking about. We can't muster it up. We can simply agree spiritually by faith. Lord, I pray that there would be a sense of growth just in the hearts of individuals as they leave this place, as they wake up tomorrow, and they just continue to identify themselves as sons and daughters, already birthed again, no longer needing that cozy place that we once found ourselves in, but that we're ready to go and to fulfill and to do what mature sons and daughters do. God, I thank You for sealing this time in Your presence by Your Holy Spirit, that Your seal would be upon our heart, that Your seal would be upon our forehead, that Your seal and Your marker would be evident to the world that's around us. Oh, Jesus, we thank You for this beautiful day. We thank You for opportunities to be a light in this community, to go out and to just be a blessing to mothers and to families. And God, You're not done with us yet. You're just getting started. We thank You for that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you need prayer this morning or just would like a touch of the Lord this morning, come forward while everyone else is going out to do what they have to do. Come on forward and let us pray for you. We have powerful ministry team waiting to...